So turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we're going to read a story that should mean a whole lot to everybody in this room. And it's about Cornelius. And we titled this, God Breaks Down Partitions. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 23 says, there was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Wow, what a resume, huh? About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. Okay, I'm not preaching yet. Don't set your watch on me yet. But we got to talk about that for just a second, because that's a word for the Lord for somebody in this house. And it's more than a somebody, it's several people. God can speak clearly to you, to give you instruction. And God knows your name. God knows your name. He said, Cornelius, I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to make everything wide open. It's going to be clear to you. There are people in this house right now that are praying to God for wisdom, and you have no clarity. Don't do anything until you get clarity. Don't make those. Now, God can redeem every bad decision that you make. Thank the Lord for that, because I've made several. But I don't want God to redeem the bad decisions. I want to make the right decision. And so it's within His power. So James chapter 1, somewhere towards the end, it says the wisdom of God is first peaceable. See, there's the wisdom of man, there's the wisdom of this world, and there's the wisdom of God. I trust that you have some wisdom of the world. I hope that you do. But we're not talking about the wisdom of the world today. We're talking about the wisdom of God. That's the direction from the Holy Spirit, and you need this. And so you are within your right as a believer to ask Him to clarify what you think is going on. Okay. Praise God for your enthusiasm. Said, and when he observed him, he was afraid. Cornelius' first reaction was fear. And he says, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayer and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He'll tell you what you must do. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, 2 weeks later, Cornelius called two of his household servants. Don't let me by with that. When he had departed, Cornelius sent for the servants. Cornelius, I want you to send and get Peter over in Joppa. Hey, guys, come on. Hey, come on. I need you to go to Joppa for me. Right? How many of you, you've heard, I don't know why, I'm going to get to preaching in just a second, but if you've been in church any time at all, you've heard sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so stand up and say, God's been dealing with me about 6 months on this. Well, repent. If God has given you something to do 6 months ago, you are in sin. You're in disobedience. I can't get any plainer than that. So repent. Tell God, give me another word, God. Give me that same word. Give me the clarity, and I'm going to do it this time. I got a feeling I'm going to preach a little harder and you're going to like it today. And that is not my intention at all. He says that Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the household to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything uncommon or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time and said, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And this was done three times that the object was taken up into heaven again. Now Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant. And behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made an inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. They called and asked for Simon, whose surname was Peter, lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, there are three men seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. You better underline that. Doubting nothing. I didn't talk about this in the first verse, first sermon, but I'm going to talk about it here. Doubting nothing. When God speaks, let it be settled in your heart. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to somebody. Somebody needs to get a hold of this. I'm preaching to your wife. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius, and he said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear the words from the Lord. Then he invited them in and lodged them. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this precious chapter. I thank you, Lord, that we see how divine you are. God, that your spirit can get through a hard head of a man. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you are persistent, and that you will get your will known to us. And Father, we repent of being hard-headed, and we repent for doubt, and we repent from fear and anxiety and worry, because Lord, none of that is from you. So Lord, I ask you right now, cleanse our hearts and our minds and do a work that only you can do in this service. I pray that the Spirit of God would speak his perfect will through my lips. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. This is a great story, and it should mean something to every one of us. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Right? And so first he came for the Jew, and in Acts chapter 10, he's opening up the way for the Gentile believers, right? For Gentiles to become believers. So this is an important, very important piece of scripture for us. Cornelius, the Bible says, was a certain man. Does not say he was a disciple. Remember, I've been bringing that out to you several times now. Some people, he would say a certain disciple. Other times he said a certain man. He was not a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was not born again. He was a believer of God, and he prayed to God. But it says he was a certain man. But he was a what we would call today a good man. He believed in prayer. He would pray. But he also believed in helping people. That's a good thing. When you're born again, that spirit ought to be within you too. It says he was a generous giver. He gave, he helped people. He wasn't worried about hearing from God. He did what he was to do. He prayed. He cared for people, and God took care of him. In the New Testament, there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And he said, what do I need to do to be born again, to be saved? And Jesus said, well, you need to keep the commandments. And he said, I've done that all my life. But he's still worried. He's got turmoil in his life because he does not feel like that was enough. There's something that I'm missing, he's telling Jesus. Now, what is it? And Jesus speaks to him and says, go your way and sell everything. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. Bible says the rich young ruler left very sad because he couldn't do that. He came with a worry in his heart, and he left with a worry in his heart. Many of you today have come with worry and anxiety in your heart, and you have a choice before you. You can leave the same way you came, or you can surrender that to the Lord. Let God fill you with peace in Jesus' name. As he was praying, he had a vision, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him and began to give him instruction with such clarity. And he said this, your prayer. Can I put it in a Kelleher rendition? Your prayer does not stop when you're dead. Your prayers are stored up in heaven, according to the book of Revelation. I was in church one day. My mom had been dead for 7 or 8 years, and one of my cousins come into the church, and he got saved. He gave his heart to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, this is a direct result of your mother's prayer. I said, Mom's been dead for 7 or 8 years. And he said, that doesn't mean I'm not still answering her prayer. You're going to die. Your prayer won't. Your prayer is stored up, right? You don't waste prayer. You do not waste your breath when you pray. God hears you. I love this. I mean, if you don't get anything out of the service, you get this one. Prayer is not time wasted. It may be the most important thing that you do in your day is pray. I dare say it was. It is. The angel of the Lord gives him such good instruction. He said, I want you to go to Joppa and ask for Simon, Peter, who is staying with Simon the tanner. And so at the same time, God is speaking to Cornelius. God is speaking to he's working both ends. You ever had a fight with your wife? With your husband? Maybe I should say this to your husband. And your prayer is, God, change that old fella. You know what God does? He works on both sides. I'm going to change her. I'm working. Give me some time, Eric. I'm working on that woman of yours. And he's telling Treva, I got him. He's hard-headed, but I got him. We're doing some things in him. Be patient. He's coming around. God's working both sides. Now, that might not be your marriage. It might be your business. You may have the biggest business deal going down. You think, oh, God, I got my act together, but these other jerks, they don't know what they're doing. I'm telling you, God's big enough to handle it all. God is able to put your financial portfolio exactly where he wants it. He's able to reach your kids. They may be hard-headed and they may be living for the devil right now, but that ain't the way they're staying. I heard a report last week. A 90-year-old man got baptized, gave his heart to Jesus, got baptized. He was raised up. His mom and dad both were preachers, but for 90 years he hadn't lived for God. He went to a funeral and heard something familiar, heard the salvation story. And at 90 years old, the verse that says, if you train them up right, when they're old, they'll come back. You folks, no one is out of God's sight. We need to quit giving up on prayer. Amen. Thank you both for your enthusiasm. So Peter's up on the roof. It's about lunchtime and he's hungry. I don't know why the Bible tells us that, but he's hungry. I guess I do know why the Lord told us that. Because sometimes it's hard to pray when you're hungry, isn't it? It's like, well, God, I could pray better if I had a grilled cheese right now. But he didn't have a grilled cheese. He just happened to pray. And I think it was beyond him. I think he was having a hard time wrestling his mind together. So God said, let's just do it another way. And he made him fall into a trance. Now that's purely Kelleher right there. That's not in your Bible. But I really believe that's what's happening. God says, I'm getting my word to you, young man. You're going to hear the word of the Lord. Maybe you don't have it within you right now, but I'm going to get my word to you. So just go to sleep for a second. So he put him in a trance, and I thought about that. I looked that up. And it says a trance is an elevated God-given state for the purpose of instruction similar to vision. We may call that a daydream. I don't know. But the Bible calls Cornelius's a vision. He calls Peter's a trance. They were different. Now, in that trance, God gave him a vision and he began to speak to him. Another thing that I found very interesting is Cornelius, who was not even born again, God spoke once and he said, okay, fellas, come on, we're going to Joppa. But to Peter, the man of God, the guy that walked with Jesus for 3 years, he had to speak the same thing 3 times. I'm telling you, listen to me. Christians, quit being so stinking hard-headed. You need to get over your religion. Get sensitive to Jesus. Jesus wants to speak to you. But sometimes this religion gets in our way. I just offended a couple of people. You know you got to love me anyway, right? You want to go to heaven, don't you? So God puts him in a trance and then opens his mind. He sees this sheet coming down with all kinds of unclean animals on it for a Jewish boy. And he tells Peter, he says, now rise up and eat that. And Peter says, no way. You ever told the Holy Ghost no? I have. Not doing that, Lord. So give that $100 so that, no, get thee behind me, Satan. So he tells him 3 times, here's what you need to do. Now, let me just tell you, I don't believe that we have to obey the dietary restrictions of the Old Testament, but this is not the scripture to argue that. You hear me? This is not the scripture that you go to juice and say you can eat anything. This is not talking about food. See, oftentimes God uses what you know to show you something you don't know. So what he's doing is he's using his custom. He's using something that Peter is very familiar with, and he's expanding that. And he said, now I want to talk to you about people, not food. And don't call unclean what I'm fixing to clean. It's a powerful word from the Lord. So Peter, he gets up, and all of a sudden, then the Holy Spirit speaks to him, right? First time, he was in a trance. He was seeing all this happening. But the Bible's very specific on, then the Holy Spirit speaks and says, okay, there's 3 guys down there by the door, and they're going to ask for you. You go with them. And the Bible says they stayed the night, and early the next morning, they got up, and they went to back to Joppa. No, they went back to Caesarea, where Cornelius was at. And so he dealt with Cornelius. So I've got about 4 points here that I find. Now the end of this chapter is more exciting than the beginning, but I can't preach it all in one day because you don't have the patience for that, or the backside, one or the other. I'm not sure. It says you can't endure what your backside can't endure. So the number one is God is willing to lead us before we even ask. God's willing to lead you even before you ask. Cornelius, God in his mercy, God in his grace led Cornelius. Peter didn't ask for this assignment, but God opened it up and gave it to him. The wisest man in all the earth, so the Bible says, Solomon, wrote the most depressing book in the Bible, Ecclesiastes. And if it wasn't for the last 2 or 3 verses, I would say, I'm not sure if that's a God or not. But the last 3 verses says, here the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Folks, I'm telling you, he's made it so simple for us. Are you hearing me? Micah said, he has showed the old man what is good and what is it? What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Let me sow this word into you. You don't have the answers. Quit trying to find them. He has the answers. Amen. Seek him. Walk humbly with your God. quit acting like telling people that you've got your act together. Because there ain't nobody in this room's got your act together. But with His help, He will bring clarity to your decision making. He will tell you what to do and how to do it. And then all we have to do is obey. So God understands where we're at. And He's willing to lead us. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. It's so difficult to do that. What's the difficult part? Lean not to your own understanding. It's so hard not to try to figure everything out. Just to trust God. Right? There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end is destruction. It's what Scripture says. I don't want to go to destruction. I want to succeed in everything I put my hand to. Right? And if I seek Him with all my heart, I've got that promise. He's going to do that for me. In Psalms 119, 105, He says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. One of the greatest ways that God will lead us is through His word. When you're reading His word and something goes off like a light bulb in your head, you need to realize the Holy Ghost is trying to get something to you. Quit being hard-headed. Listen to the Lord. John Bevere read a scripture one time and the Lord said, read it again. He read it again. He said, read it again. He read it again. Seven times John Bevere read that scripture. And the Holy Spirit said, son, you are not getting this. Read it again. And all of a sudden, it was opened up to him. See, it's revelation knowledge is what we need. We need God to reveal. We need God to open up the heavens. And He said He would do that for you, for your decision making, for your children. Anybody want to lay hold on that promise? I think I do. I'll lay hold of that one. Psalm 16:9, it says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. In Isaiah 58, it says, the Lord will guide you continually. 48:17 of Isaiah says, I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. God's got your business. If you just let Him lead it, He's got your profit. He'll lead you. He'll teach you to profit. Who leads you by the way you should go. The second thing is, God sees what you do in secret and rewards you openly. Everything that Cornelius did, he did in secret. Most of my life, I grew up with hearing preachers saying, just go into your prayer closet. Go to your secret place. Folks, you don't have a secret place. His secret place is where we're supposed to go, right? You may have a prayer closet. You may have a favorite place. I like to go to the woods when I pray. And so I can get my mind clear for some reason. But what I'm longing to do is get in the secret place with the Most High God. In Psalms 91, it's a whole chapter, and it all depends on verse 1 and 2. And it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Sign me up for that. I want to know that every time I take a step, I'm being shadowed by the Holy Ghost. How do I do that? By getting into the secret place of God. Not once a year, but every day of my life. What happens in the secret place? The secret place is the place of intimacy. T.D. Jake said 30 years ago, intimacy means this, into me see. I give you permission, God, to look into my heart, as decrepit as it is. I want you to see everything about me. That takes some boldness. Hebrews 4:13 says everything is laid open and naked before the Lord. And I can't tell you, and said, who will give an account? I can't tell you how many times when I was a kid, that verse scared the fire out of me. I thought, I don't want him to know my thoughts. But today, I'm going to tell you, I want the Holy Ghost to know everything about me. The stinking, the good, the bad, the ugly. Lord, you see it anyway. I want you to redeem it. I want you to know me so well that you know how to get my attention. You know me by name and you know how to speak to Eric Kelleher so he will hear and respond. I'm telling you, some of us have decided that God doesn't hear our prayer, and I've come to you today to tell you God hears you. We don't always get what we ask for. Why? Because we ask upon our own lust. But I can tell you the prayer that you won't get, the one that you don't ask. You have not because you ask not. I'm telling you, we need to find the secret place of God. We need to make it a habit of being there. I didn't even read the verse 2. And he says, I will say of the Lord. Now listen to this. This is the man who knows his God. I will say of my God, he is my refuge. When I am scared, Psalms 53 says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in him. Say, well, men don't get scared. Oh, baloney. We get scared as much as any little girl there is. I'm telling you, we walk in fear a lot of times. But I'm telling you, when you know that you know that you know you know your Savior, then all of a sudden you say, even when I'm afraid, he's still my refuge. He's my protector. He will guard me and protect my life. He's my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Don't trust in your bank account. Don't trust in your job. Don't trust in other relationships. There is one relationship that you can trust in, and that's God Almighty. And you better know him. You better know him. It's for your good that you know him. God sees what you do in secret. Matthew tells us that your charitable deeds may be in secret, but the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. God hears your prayer and he answers. Matthew 21 says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14, I think this is, did you ever quote this verse? It says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, now listen, he puts a couple of conditions. If we ask anything according to his will, not your selfishness, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that our petitions that we have asked of him. Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. And when we read this stuff about righteousness, all of a sudden, our sin comes before us. And all we see is that, boy, have I messed up. Man, I keep messing up on the same thing. That is not about your, that you're not righteous because you're doing good. You're not righteous because you've had a good week. Do you see how Satan plays this thing in us? You see, when I've had a good week, I pray with confidence. But when I've messed up and I've had a bad week, I don't pray for 2 weeks. Because the devil beats me over the head saying, God's not going to hear you. I know what you've done. And he knows what you've done. You hear me. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I believe it is, said that he took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. It doesn't matter what I've done. It doesn't matter who I am. I'm telling you, I don't stand in my righteousness. Isaiah said that my righteousness compared to God is as filthy rags. Amen. We don't stand in our righteousness. We are covered in the blood of Christ. We are righteous because he died on a cross and forgave us of our sin and gave us the gift of righteousness. So it really has very little to do with you. It has everything with what you believe. Can you comprehend what I'm telling you today? Can you comprehend that whether you feel it or not, when you pray, God hears? God doesn't hear Arthur more than he hears Sherry. God doesn't hear Sherry more than he hears Sheila or me. Now, if you want someone to pray with you in conjunction so that you can bind your hearts together, that's wonderful. But you don't need anybody else. Because God hears you. I need to smack some of you. Yeah. Just so you'll get this in your heart. I know you hear it intellectually, but you are not receiving it spiritually. You have got... this is something that has to be decided in your spirit once and for all. You've got to settle this thing. God hears me when I pray. Case closed. I'm not debating this with Satan any longer. I'm going to stand on the word that declares that he hears me because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when you do this, your life will forever be changed. But we've been taught that we're an old stinking sinner. You were a sinner, but you have been saved by grace. And you have got to forget, you've got to eliminate that from your vocabulary. I'm not a sinner any longer. I am a saint of God. I am the righteousness. Are you getting it? It changes the way you pray. It changes your attitude towards Him. And Pentecostals were just as bad. If we don't feel something, we don't think He heard us. Well, I prayed, but I didn't feel nothing. What's that got to do with anything? Nothing. Amen. It's not about your feelings. Amen. It's about faith in the word, that his word said something. Now, I'm going to take his word over Eric's thoughts. And I'm going to say, Eric, when your word, when your thoughts conflict with the word of God, Eric's thoughts have to be submitted. Amen. Eric's thoughts got to change. I'm not going to change the word to agree with my thoughts. We've done that in the body of Christ, and we come up with heresy every time. It's the word of God. First place, final authority. In other words, what's that mean? It means when I read the word and it goes against what I think, his word takes preeminence over my thoughts. Every time. I surrender the way. I don't care who you taught you this. Grandma was the sweetest woman in the world, but she probably told you some stinking thinking. Never forget talking to that former Mennonite. We have several in this place. He told me, he said, I'm not a Mennonite anymore, but I still think like one. I understood that totally. I still got that thinking. That ain't good. You know what? Now, I love the Mennonites. I think they're a wonderful group of people. But it's like saying, I'm not a drug addict anymore, but I still think like one. Now, if I said that, all of you that's had that problem in your life would say, ooh, he's in danger. Wouldn't you? That's a dangerous place to live. You can't think like a drug addict anymore. God wants to get it out of your system, but he wants to get it out of your stinking head too. So I hit 10 or 15 people in this congregation by that one thought. But the rest of you, we're in the same boat as they are. Our addiction is different. But every one of us, God went to the pit for us. God dug in the pit to get us out and put our feet on the rock. So God wants to change us here as well as here. Does that make sense? Matter of fact, this is more important, actually. This old body, this old tent's going to die. I don't care who you are. Unless the rapture of the Lord comes, this tent's going down one day. But the soul and the spirit is going to be with the Lord, forever with the Lord, right? So God, transform our thoughts. I can lead you to salvation in 30 seconds, but change your brain, it's going to be a lifetime. But He wants to change the way you think. And one of the key areas is, how do I see myself? Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, I can't talk you out of being a failure if all you see is failure. I can preach it all day long. But you've got to change the image in your mind. And Satan keeps painting this picture, you're nothing but a failure. Oh, get behind me, Satan. You're nothing but a liar. Am I making sense? You've got to change. Let the Lord change this. This is where victory will happen, is when your brain changes. Man, I don't know really for sure why that all come out. But thank you, Holy Ghost. We'll take it. The last thing that I saw is number four, is God broke down the dividing wall. There was cultural differences between Jew and Gentile. Peter was not even supposed to go into the house of Cornelius. It was against the law for a Jewish guy to go into Cornelius's, any Gentile's house. And God's telling him, break the law. Mm-mm-mm. If COVID happens again, we're going to break the law, folks. And they may come to arrest your pastor, Pastor Treva, but I'm going to... But we're going to have a prayer meeting that night. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, for He Himself is our peace. He Himself is our peace. Some of you are looking for peace, and you're looking at it from the wrong angle. The only place you're going to find peace is in Jesus Christ. Amen. He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. God, through the story in Acts chapter 10, is taking Gentile believers. We're going to see the end of the story next week. He's taken the Gentiles, and He's taken the two, and He said, okay, we've been separate too long. Let's get together. What do we got? We got the church. We did not replace Jewish people. We were joined in the vine. You hear me? We've been joined together. That's why we have a heart for Israel. Folks, I don't care what your government tells you. You pray for Israel. You pray for their peace and their prosperity. And I just got an anointed word for you. You probably ought to turn the stinking news off.
Amen.
Say, well, who am I going to know to vote for? Pray. Just pray. I'm not thrilled with either candidate. I'm not thrilled with either party. But one of the two of those guys is going to win. And I got to say, God, who do you want me to vote for? My vote is not my own. It's your vote, God. You just tell me who you want me to vote for. Are you willing to do that? I can promise you one thing. You're wrong if you don't vote. We have a privilege in this nation, and it's to vote. Just vote biblically. Ask Jesus. If Jesus could speak to Cornelius' heart and give him clarity to go to another town and get the man Peter, I think Jesus can tell you who to vote for. And if the body of Christ came together in unity in a vote, we would select the next president. And we would select every president if we would just get unified. How are we going to get unified? By asking the Holy Spirit to lead every one of us. Right? Lead me, Lord. Doesn't matter what mama was. Doesn't matter what daddy was. What matters is our Father which art in heaven. What are you doing in this land? Really what you're saying is, God, who can you use? Which failed person can you use? Which imperfect party can you use? God to help us. God wants to bring clarity to every decision we make. And we need it. You know, the body of Christ is really splintered. And we're letting politics splinter us. And if you stand up in hatred towards the other party, you're wrong. If you're a Democrat and you hate the Republicans, or if you're a Republican and you hate the Democrats, you're wrong, you're wrong. Amen. Being of a different party does not give you the right to hate. Amen. Now the world wants you to. The news wants you to. Again, I don't know why I'm bringing this up. But you might need to ask the Lord to forgive you. I can watch the news and I can feel anger getting stirring up in me. Right? It's not the righteousness of God. It's not the anger of God. It's my anger. And I've got to submit that. And I've got to say, okay, God, turn this news off. Now you tell me. Tell me what you need me to know. Would you stand with me? This is something very small. Treve and I are headed to Gatlinburg here in a few minutes for a meeting that we have to attend. We'll be back on Wednesday night. And so we got new tires on our car to make that trip. And so I come out and getting ready to go to Sunday school. And Tommy says, you know, you got a flat on your car? And I'm like, no, I didn't know. The first thing that happens, I'm mad. I'm just like, I just put new tires. I put $600 worth of new tires on the car. And then I thought, oh, for the mercy and grace of God. That could have happened 4 hours down the road. But God in his mercy let it go flat right here. And you know, I didn't do a thing. I didn't do nothing. But one of the gentlemen in this church ran and got a tank or something, filled up my tire so I could at least make it home. I'm telling you, I thank Darren, but I thank God for taking care of me. You see, behind the scenes, Cornelius had a vision, but God was working on the other side. See, you don't see it. All you see is such, all we see is what's right in front of our face. But I'm telling you, God's working on the other end of things for you. But you've got to trust him. Will you trust God? God, your worry's not going to help. Your anxiety's not going to help. But if you'll trust him, got to have somebody in this church go fix your spare tire. No. Got to take care of you. He does take care of you. Why? Because he loves you. He's your daddy. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? It's entirely possible that there may be people here that have never asked Jesus to come into your heart. You've never surrendered your heart to God, and you've never said, Jesus, man, I am a sinner. I'm a long way from being a saint. I need you to forgive me. I need you to come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. If you would, if you're here today and you want to pray that prayer, would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand, say, that's me. Amen. Would you guys just come up here in the front? Roy, would you come and meet this young lady, Damon? Damien, just come right up here. Roy, I'm going to ask you to come and just come and lead these people in the prayer. I appreciate your courage. I appreciate what the Lord is doing in your life right now. Amen. For the rest of you, God's working. Are you listening? Are you listening to the Lord, and are you willing to trust Him? Yeah, I just believe there's probably some people here that need to just come up to the altar today. And just as a sign of surrender, as a sign that says, Lord, I'm going to quit trying to figure everything out, and I'm going to trust you. Lord, you've got my future in your hands, and I don't see how it's going to play out, but Lord, I just want to come and confess to you right now that I trust you. And if that's you here today, I want you to step out of your chair and just come up here and just as a sign to the church, as a sign to God, that says, God, I want everybody to see I'm trusting you. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to trust you, Lord, that you're taking care of me. You're taking care of my children. You're taking care of everything that I love and trust. Let's pray, church. Father God, we come before you right now. Lord, you see the hearts. You see the people right now, Lord, that's saying, oh, that's me. I need to trust God. Oh, I'm dealing with a lot of junk in my life, but Lord, I'm trying my best to trust you. God, I pray right now, you said that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. That power is the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray right now that the power of the Holy Ghost would be the prevailing power in their life, God, and that you would equip them to overcome every obstacle. Through your power, you're made strong in our weakness. So God, we confess our weakness. We confess our bad thoughts. We confess our sin. And we ask you, Lord, lead us in spite of ourselves. Let the Holy Ghost make the way and we will follow you. God, I pray, Lord, hear the sincerity of our heart today as we cry out to you, lead us, guide us, make your voice clear to us. God, help them to settle in their heart today that you know them and that you hear their prayer. In the precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now the word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts. You're not going to figure it out. You're going to have to trust. God knows where He wants you. We studied today in Sunday school about Abraham. He went to Egypt, told his wife, he said, hey, would you pretend to be my sister where they won't kill me? And so she did, and God revealed to the Pharaoh that what was going on. And the chapter 13, verse 4 said he came back to the altar that he had built. See, God never told him to go to Egypt. He went to Egypt because it seemed like a good idea. And there he met disaster. Listen to me. There's some of you right now that you're going around the mountain one more time because God never told you to do what you did last. He's going to bring you back to the altar and you're going to say, God, help me do it right this next time. I want to do things right this time. And then you rely not on your own wisdom, but on the wisdom of God. He's big enough to get His word to you with clarity. And I'm beating this horse to death, ain't I? But you got to hear this. God is big enough to answer you, that you know that you know that you know what He's doing. Amen. Raise your hand. Receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you, folks. See you on Wednesday.